الحمد لله الحمد لله وحده والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب البلاد إلى الله مساجدها أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said Ahabbul biladi ilallahi masajiduha. The most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the masajid. The masajid are the most beloved places to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the masajid are constructed, the masajid are established only for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Innama buniyatil masajidu li dhikrillah. Masajid are established only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And every worship, every ibadah consists of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, one can conclude that the only activity that is permissible in a masjid or in the masajid is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every worship will consist of the remembrance and the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, because masajid are established only for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and only for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is obvious that these places are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And for this reason, there are many virtues for constructing masajid. Many virtues for those people who construct masajid or who assist in the construction of masajid. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Man bana lillahi masjidan, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah. One who builds a masjid, one who constructs a masjid, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. not for competition, which have become to some extent the norm in this day and age. Not for competition, not to outwit one another, not for show, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when masajid are constructed out of competition, then that is the sign of Qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, "Inna min asharati sa'ati an yatabaha an-nasu fil masajid." From the signs of Qiyamah is that people will compete with one another in the construction of masajid. If this masjid has two minarets, then we will have a masjid with five minarets, four minarets. If this masjid can hold 500 musallis, then we should have a masjid which can hold 600 musallis. Not for show, not out of competition, only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who constructs a masjid for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a house for him in Jannah in return. So his salat, his zakah, his hajj, his tilawat, his helping the poor, his helping the needy, the reward of all these amal will be separate from this. The house or the palace that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build for him will be in return of this one amal only, construction of a masjid. Now here, those people who do not have the financial ability to construct a whole masjid may feel despondent. I also wish to construct a whole masjid and become deserving of this virtue that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned in this hadith, but I can't afford to build a masjid worth 3 million pounds, 4 million pounds. I don't have the ability. Then for such a person, the first word of comfort is that in some cases, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, the intention of a mu'min in some cases is better than his amal. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person upon his intention to. Intention, a firm resolution to do something, that is also an amal. It is the amal of the heart. So sometimes this amal of the heart is more important than the amal of the body. Why? You have a person who donates 1 million pounds for the construction of a masjid, and he constructs a whole masjid. And he begins with total sincerity, lot of sincerity in the heart. But slowly, riya creeps in. When people talk about him, when people praise him, riya, show, creeps in. And as soon as riya creeps in, his amal becomes void in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't hold any weight whatsoever. The amal is there, the construction of the masjid is there, but it does not hold any weight whatsoever. Because weight of an amal depends on the degree of ikhlas that he has. So you have one person who has spent 1 million pounds constructing a masjid, but he becomes the victim of riya, and he does not get anything in the hereafter. And you have another person who does not have the money, but he entertains this thought in his heart that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was to grant me £1 million, then I would definitely construct a masjid. He does not have the ability, but he entertains this thought. And because he practically is not doing anything, so he can't boast about it, that I've built a masjid. It will remain within himself only. And this amal of the heart, this sincere amal of the heart, this wish that he is entertaining, that if I had £1 million, or if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants me £1 million, I will definitely, inshallah, construct a masjid. This amal of the heart is known to him and his creator only. No riya can creep in. So this amal of his is definitely deserving of reward in the hereafter. So for this reason the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amalihi. In certain cases, the niyya, the intention of a mu'min, is better than his amal. So this is the first word of comfort for those people who are unable to construct a whole masjid. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in another narration has given even a greater comfort than this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Man bana lillahi masjidan walau kamafhasi qatatin banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." This is the riwayah narrated by Imam Ibn Majah rahimahullahu ta'ala in his sahih. "Man bana lillahi masjidan," in Bukhari Sharif, "Man bana lillahi masjidan banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." And in Ibn Majah Sharif there is an addition, "Man bana lillahi masjidan walau kamaf hasiqatat banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah." One who constructs a masjid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will build a palace for him in Jannah, despite that masjid being the size of a nest of a bird which was known as qatat. Despite the masjid being small as the nest of the qatat bird, even if a person was to build a very small masjid the size of a nest of a bird known as qatat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would still reward him with a house in Jannah. Now the question arises here as to who would be able to perform salat in a masjid which is small as a nest of a bird. So the muhaddisin and the commentators commenting on this hadith have explained that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is encouraging the ummah to take part in the construction of the masajid, however insignificant their contribution may be. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is promising reward in Jannah for everyone who takes part in the construction of the masajid. If a person builds a masjid which is the size of a nest, means if a person contributes even a little amount in the construction of a masjid, if a person was to donate a brick, if a person was to donate half a brick, if the cost of a brick is £1, if a person was to contribute 25 pence towards that brick, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reward him with a whole house in Jannah. So the masajid are very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is for this reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has mentioned many virtues of masajid. And if a person frequently visits the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has declared that as a sign of his iman. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلِ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسَاجِدِ فَاشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. If you see a person frequenting the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then bear witness that he is a mu'min. This is a sign that he is a mu'min. Because a munafiq, a hypocrite, will find it very difficult to visit the masajid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only a believer, the one who has love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one who is connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only he will be able to frequent his visit to the masajid. So alhamdulillah, the masajid are great blessings, and especially if you are given the opportunity to attend the masajid, it is a great blessing. But every precious place has certain etiquettes. The code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also has etiquettes. One very important etiquette is that you can only engage in those activities which consist of the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot talk about worldly matters. You cannot discuss business. You cannot talk about politics. You cannot talk about your marital issues. Once you are in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you perform salat. You engage in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. Any formulae of dhikr. You engage in teaching and learning. You engage in discussing the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. You engage in discussing what brings one nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what connects one to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You may engage in discussing those things that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things that displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is halal, what is haram, what is permissible, what is impermissible. How should a Muslim live his 24 hours? This is the very prime etiquette, that once you are in the masjid, it is not permissible for you to discuss anything that is not associated to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adab number two, it is not permissible to raise your voice when you are in the masjid. So much so, that if somebody is engaged in performing salat, then the one who wishes to recite the Quran may do so in such a manner that his recitation does not disturb the one performing the salat. Now, recitation of the Quran, man qara harfan min kitabillah falahu bihi hasanatun wal hasanatu bi ashri amsalha. When one reads a letter from the Quran, then for him will be one hasana. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And as soon as a person becomes deserving of a hasana in the code of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is immediately multiplied by 10. So read one harf, one letter, and acquire 10 rewards. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا أَقُولُ أَلِفْ لَام مِيم حَرْفٌ. I am not saying alif, lam, mim is one letter. وَلَكِنْ أَلِفٌ حَرْفٌ وَلَامٌ حَرْفٌ وَمِيمٌ حَرْفٌ. Alif is a separate letter, lam is a separate letter, mim is a separate letter. So if one reads أَلَمْ تَرَ, أَلَمْ, أَلَمْ تَرَ. In أَلَمْ تَرَ you have alif and then lam and then mim, أَلَمْ. So if, as soon as someone recites أَلَمْ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 30 rewards. And if one was to recite alif, lam, mim at the beginning of Suratul Baqarah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him 90 rewards. Because he is saying alif. So alif, lam, anfa. Then he is saying lam. Now lam is made of lam, alif and mim. And then he is saying mim. Mim is made of mim, ya and mim. So there are 9 letters altogether. So a person will be rewarded with 90 hasana. So such great ibadat. But even that ibadat is not permissible in the masjid in such a way that it disturbs another person who is performing salat. Because when a person is performing salat, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, "Al-musalli yunaji rabbahu." Al-musalli yunaji rabbahu. When a person is performing salat, he is secretly talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is secretly talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, when the musalli says, "Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen," then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Hamidani abdi." When he says, "Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Athna alayya abdi." When he says, "Maliki yawmiddin," Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Majjadani abdi." When he says, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." So, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. My servant has praised me. My servant has carried out my hamd. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, my servant has carried out my thana. Thana is also praise. Hamd is also praise. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises be to Allah who is the cherisher of all the worlds. Hamidani abdi. My servant has carried out my hamd. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. All merciful, all compassionate, all merciful. All compassionate, all merciful. Asana alayya abdi. My servant has carried out my thana. He has praised me again. Majjadani abdi. Maliki yawmiddin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the possessor. He is the owner of the day of retribution, the day of qiyamah. He is the owner of the day of retribution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Majjadani abdi." This is the narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullahu ta'ala. "Majjadani abdi." My servant has mentioned my greatness. "Majjadani," he has glorified me. "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in." When he says, "Iyyaka na'budu wa iyyaka nasta'in," only you do we worship. And only from you do we seek help and assistance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here says that my servant has divided this verse into two parts. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen was only for me. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim was only for me. Malik Yawmiddin was only for me. Here he is saying, "Iyyaka na'budu," that is for me. Only you do we worship. And "wa iyyaka nasta'in," only you, only from you do we seek help. This he has kept for himself because he wants to ask something from me. So "Iyyaka na'budu" is for me. And "wa iyyaka nasta'in," he has kept for himself. He has divided this verse into two parts. And now he wishes to ask something from me. "Wale abdi ma sa'ala." And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a promise that I will grant my servant whatever he asks for. This communication is taking place in salat. We don't realize, my friends. We just stand in salat and our mind wanders off here and there. And we just read Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Maliki Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu wa Iyyaka Nasta'in, without realizing where we are standing and what is happening at that precise moment. Think for a while, my friends. When we are saying Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah's attention is towards us and He is saying Hamidani Abdi. When we say Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, His attention is towards us, He is saying Asana Alayya Abdi. When we say Malik Yawmiddin, his attention is towards us. He says, "Majjadani abdi." So he is talking to us and our minds are elsewhere. We are not, our attention is not towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he is talking to us. How much more disrespectful can we become with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? "Wali abdi ma sa'ala," I will grant my servant whatever he asks for. "Wali abdi ma sa'ala." Now, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here had left it to you and me to ask for whatever we wanted, then we would have chosen something very, very insignificant. Because our mind, our thinking is limited. We are not as far-sighted as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are not as far-sighted as our superiors, our parents, our teachers, our superiors. If we are not as far-sighted as some of the creatures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing can encompass His knowledge. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had left it to us, that okay, you've reached here, wali abdi ma sala, I will grant my servant whatever he wants, now ask, what do you want? Then we would have opted for something very insignificant. We may have asked for a good job. We may have asked for a good car. We may have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us success in our examinations. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلَ. After promising that I will grant my servant anything he asks for, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not leave any choice to us. He compelled us to ask and say, say and ask, اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I will grant you whatever you ask for. And you have to ask this. You have to ask for this. O Allah, guide me onto the straight path. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, commenting on this verse in his tafsir, has said that اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the key to all successes. It is the key to all successes. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the key to the successes of the hereafter, and it is the key to the successes of this world. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. O Allah, guide me onto the straight path. I am looking for a job. Guide me onto the straight path and find me a good job. I am sick, I am unwell, and I am looking for a good doctor who can prescribe the right medicine for me. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Lead me to the right doctor. I am looking to get married and looking for a partner. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Lead me to the right woman. Lead me to the right man. I have my examinations, and it is my desire to pass with good grades. Lead me to those resources and those means which will grant me success in my examinations. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. I wish to depart from this world with iman whilst reciting the kalima La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide me to those deeds which will secure iman at the time of death. I wish my grave to become a garden from the gardens of paradise. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Guide me to those amal which will secure this for me. I wish to be shaded under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ is the key to all successes. اِهْدِنَ السِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. So I was saying, friends, that a musalli, the person performing salat, is secretly talking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, secretly communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, those people who wish to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by reciting the Quran, by engaging in zikr, should do it in such a way that they do not disturb the person who is performing salat. Now from this we can understand how important it is for us to make sure that we switch off the mobile before coming into the masjid. Because if disturbing somebody who is performing salat through the recitation of the Quran, has been forbidden, then how is it possible? How is it possible for somebody to come into the masjid and disturb people through an activity which cannot even be regarded an ibadat? And then some people walk into the masjid with their mobile switched on and they have musical tones on. Now musical tones, whether in the masjid or outside the masjid, is impermissible. Musical tones are impermissible in the masjid or outside the masjid. Something that is impermissible even outside the masjid, then how severe the sin will be if that impermissible activity takes place in the sacred house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we need to be very, very careful in regard to these matters. In many of the masajid, we see people talking, chatting away, making noise, talking about worldly affairs. The adhan is going on and nobody is paying attention to the adhan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has taught us that when the muadhin calls out the adhan, then each person should listen to the adhan with attention. And whenever the muadhin stops, then each person should repeat the words of the muadhin. So when he says Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, those listening should listen very carefully and they should say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. When he says Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, we should say Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We should repeat the same words. Faqulu mithla ma yaqulu al-mu'adhdhin. Repeat the same words that the mu'adhdhin is saying. Except when he says Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah. When he says hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, and when he says hayya ala al-falah, hayya ala al-falah, we should say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And in Fajr when he says As-salatu khayrun minan nawm, then we should say sadaqta wa bararta, sadaqta wa bararta. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has instructed us to do this, that when you hear the muadhin calling out the azan, repeat the words of the azan, except in hayya ala salah, hayya ala falah, and as-salatu khayrun minan nawm. In Hayya ala salah, you say La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Hayya ala falah, same La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. And in As-salatu khayrun minan nawm, sadaqta wa bararta. And once the adhan is over, one should read Durood Sharif. Salat ala nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any Durood Sharif. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. And thereafter read the dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wab'athhu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. This is the correct dua. Allahumma rabba hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma was-salati al-qa'ima ati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila. In some books you find wad darajata ar-rafi'a. What darajat al-rafiyya is not part of the dua. Aati Muhammadan al-wasilata wal-fadila wab'athu. What darajat al-rafiyya is not part of the dua. Wab'athu maqaman mahmudan alladhi wa'adta. In some books you find warzuqna shafa'atahu yawm al-qiyamah. This is not part of the dua. Wa'adta innaka la tukhlifu al-mi'ad. اللهم رب هذه الدعوة التامة والصلاة القائمة آت محمدا الوسيلة والفضيلة وبعثه مقاما محمودا الذي وعدته. This dua is in Bukhari Sharif. And this dua and then إِنَّكَ لَا تُخْلِفُ الْمِيَادِ is in Bayhaqi Sharif. So this is from the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم has said that one who listens to the adhan carefully, thereafter he repeats every word of the muadhin, as taught by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter he reads Durood Sharif, and thereafter this dua. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Hallat lahu shafaati yawm al-qiyamah." My intercession will become incumbent for him on the day of Qiyamah. I will intercede for him on the day of Qiyamah. Allahu Akbar. I will intercede for him on the day of Qiyamah. Think, my brothers. And one can deduce from this virtue that the person who will practice this will be granted death with iman, inshaAllah. Why? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam will only intercede for the believers. So when he says that one who does this, my intercession will become incumbent for him, that means he will die a death of iman, and then I will intercede for him on the day of Qiyamah. So here we have a prescription for Husna Khatima. Many people are concerned about the final moments. Everybody is concerned. Everybody is worried. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innamal amalu bil khawatim. Innamal amalu bil khawatim. The final moments will decide the fate. If a person lives with iman, he will go in Jannah. If a person leaves this world without iman, if he utters a word of kufr just before departing, may Allah safeguard all of us, he will go straight in the fire of Jahannam forever and ever. So here we have a prescription for Husna Khatima. Very simple. As soon as the muazzin begins to call the adhan, become silent. Listen to the adhan. Thereafter, repeat the kalimat, the words of the muazzin. Thereafter read Durood Sharif, Salat ala Nabi, and thereafter the dua. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant Husn Khatima, and also the intercession of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will become incumbent. Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Nawwarallahu Marqadahu, has narrated a very, very interesting episode of a lady who was in her final moments. She was in her final moments and she was uttering something in the Arabic language. So those people who do not understand Arabic, when they hear somebody saying something in Arabic, they tend to think that she is reciting something. So they called the local imam and they asked the imam that, can you find out what she is reciting? Because she was mentally handicapped to a certain extent. She was slow. And she had not learned anything. She did not know how to perform wudu. She did not know how to perform salat. She was not mukallaf. But she was reciting something. She was saying something. So the Imam Sahib listened very carefully to what she was saying. And soon she departed. The soul departed. So the Imam Sahib began questioning the people in the household as to what good amal this lady was performing. So they said mentally she was not well, so she wasn't performing any amal as far as we know. So the Imam Sahib said, no, think, there must be some amal that she was performing. So they thought, and somebody said that, yes, there is one amal that she was performing. One amal. As soon as she used to hear the muadhin calling out the adhan, she would become very silent. She would leave everything on one side and become very silent and sit respectfully. And she would not let anybody in the household also do anything until the adhan was over. She would prevent everybody from doing anything. As soon as the adhan would begin, she would stop everybody, make everybody silent. She had a lot of respect for adhan. So the Imam Sahib said, why I asked you this question is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted her a very lofty status. Because she was saying in Arabic, إِنَّ هَذَيْنِ الرَّجُلَيْنِ يَقُولَانِ لِي. Because she was departing from this world, she was seeing the malaika, the angels. So she was saying, "Inna hadaini rajulaini yaqulani li." Now the language of the people of Jannah is Arabic. So now because she was just about to enter Jannah, she was speaking in Arabic. So she was saying, "Inna hadaini rajulaini yaqulani li." These two gentlemen are saying to me, "Udkhuli min ayyi abwabil jannati shi'ti." Enter the Jannah from whichever door you wish. There are 8 gates of Jannah. Enter the Jannah from any gate that you desire. So my friends, adab, respect, plays a very, very important role in Islam. Respect for adhan, respect for salat, respect for masjid, respect for our parents, respect for ulama, respect for people of piety, respect for knowledge, respect for the masajid, respect for the haram sharif, respect for Makkah Mukarrama, respect for Medina Munawwara, respect for Qibla. So let us come into the masjid with lot of love for the masajid. Let us come into the masjid with lot of love for the masajid, with lot of respect for the masajid. Let us not engage in any futile activity whilst in the masajid. Let us sit respectfully. And when we enter the masjid, let us enter with the right foot. Let us enter with the right foot saying, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. And same when we leave the masjid, Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. And Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, Allahumma aftah li abwaab rahmatik. Then make this intention that, oh Allah, I am making the intention of i'tikaf for as long as I remain in the masjid. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you rewards for 2 devotions. You are reciting the Quran, you will get reward for reciting the Quran and reward for i'tikaf. You are performing salat, you will get reward for performing salat and for i'tikaf. You are talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reward you for lecturing and also i'tikaf. You are listening to the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will grant you reward for listening, participating in a ilmi, deeni gathering, religious gathering, and Allah will reward you for i'tikaf also. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to respect every sacred item. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to respect everything that should be respected. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all from disrespect. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the success of this world and the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين